In the swarm before the storm, Jesus enters the city to great fanfare, fulfilling the prophet Zechariah, who had in Zechariah 9:9 said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." In this swarm of the crowd shouting, "Hosanna," which is, "God, save us, pray, save us," Jesus comes right down Main Street, all the way to the temple. And in an interesting note in Mark's gospel, Mark wants us to know that Jesus went into the temple and looked everywhere. And then, since it was late, he went home. I can't think of another occasion in the Gospels where Jesus arrives somewhere and then basically does nothing and turns around and leaves. Every place he goes has impact. He's either going to say or do or say and do something significant and memorable. But here, he comes all the way to the temple, looks around, maybe he walks behind the altar, and then he leaves because it's late. Now this sets the tone, because then in a few paragraphs, Mark will tell us Jesus comes back to turn over tables and to drive out the money changers who are making money off of the tourists and peasants and pilgrims who've come for the festival. But in this moment, he's come to his temple in as much silence as he's going to kneel before Pilate or the Sanhedrin council. He's silent, but he is fulfilling another scripture. From the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi," that is, the priestly tribe, "and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years." On this Palm and Passion Sunday, it's not enough for Jesus to enter the town as the most popular attraction of that particular year's festival. It is for him to go all the way into the house of the Lord, his Father's house, and in silence to take in all that has gone wrong in that place, and to fulfill the promise that God would not only send a Messiah, but that God would himself be the one sent, that the Lord himself would come to the temple, and that the presence of God would bring peace to the nations and would bring refinement and a good fuller's soap scrubbing to the leaders, priests of Israel. So Jesus walks around in the calm before the storm, and then the next day he brings the storm. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this as he stormed into the temple and raised chaos. And then we listened as the Passion was narrated for us. We listened as the perfect storm began to gather. In my life, I always feel like God's either early or late, but in the scriptures, the promise is that God is always right on time. That in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the curse of the law. Galatians 3. In the fullness of time, the perfect storm coalesced. Last week, Jesus was the eye of the storm, similar today. The perfect storm, the most perfect example of power in human history to that point. Pax Romana, the peace of the ancient Mediterranean through the violence and supreme authority of the Roman Empire. Perfect power, at least so much as the world had seen to that point. The perfect storm of Judaism, this obscure backwater people, not from Egypt, not from the Great East, not from Greece, not from Rome, this small people with an old book and a long testimony that there is but one God, maker of heaven and earth, and that all things bow to him. And this people, Judaism, not a perfect religion, but as we've seen, Jesus has come not to denigrate his people, the Jews, but to fulfill the promises given to them, to fulfill the story of Israel in himself. The perfect storm is that promise God gave to Adam and Eve, as God gave to Abraham and Sarah, as God gave to Moses, to Noah and his family, and through the prophets gave again and again in the courts of kings, in the streets of cities. God gave his promises, and Jesus brought them to perfection. That is to say, brought them to their complete fulfillment in him. And there's another perfect storm which doesn't figure as prominently in the narrative, but there was no culture or philosophy like the Greeks. The Romans basically conquered the Greek-speaking peoples and said, we're going to take all your gods, and you're more creative than us. We're going to take all your gods, give them Roman names, and basically let you continue to have them because they help us keep the peace. You can have, you know, your Athena. But the Greeks had perfected human reason, philosophy. So much of what we say and do and the ways that we think is influenced as much, if not more, by Plato and Aristotle and other people with much longer, strange names to our ears than it does from the scriptures. The Western world is shaped by Greek thought. And in the perfection of philosophy and human reason, Jesus came, the eye of the storm. And to those smart Greeks, Jesus was foolishness. A crucified and later a raised Messiah. To the Romans, he was weakling. And in mockery, they said, look, it's the king of the Jews. Their king is the worst one of the bunch, the weakest, the most detestable of all. And to the Jews, Jesus came bringing a word of mercy and a word apart from the law, a word of grace apart from sacrifice and human righteousness. Which means, if you're in the priestly industry, you're obsolete. And if you have anything to do with the temple or the powers surrounding the temple, your time has come. And grace is breaking out through this perfect storm. And so it is, as he is hung from a cross and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The perfect storm has now come together. The wisdom of the Greeks, the faith of the Jews, the power and accomplishments of the Romans, and the story of God now coming against Jesus, who for our sake scorned all the shame, set aside every obstacle, and ran the race we could not run. Jesus, at the eye of the storm, brings peace to his people and peace to all nations. And by his name, we gather in this place, this Holy Week, and in the evenings to come, and on Easter Sunday, on the day of resurrection, in this place, may mercy sound forth, because Jesus, who was killed by the perfect storm of the best that we had to offer, was raised up on the third day by the grace of God. And this is the new creation. And this is where our hearts are truly fixed, that we might live by faith and hope and love until that glorious day when heaven and earth come together like the kiss of newlyweds, and all will be made well. Amen.